Sunday, 27th of December, Sora Batavis, Rabbi Mordechai Ginsbury. There's always another way.
Start? Okay. We're starting 1 minute early. Hopefully I won't be thrown out for that. I actually want to start on a particularly significant note to me personally. There's a book which just recently come out by Rebbetzin Rivka Volber, Faith in the Night. I had the zechus to learn for 3 years in Be'er Yaakov when Rabbi and Rebbetzin Volber were in their prime. Mashkiach, Zeichatzad Livrocha, the Rebbetzin Shtichia, and they were really, really wonderful and very special years. In the opening to this new book, there are some words about the Beis Hamusa which he established in Yerushalayim. I'd just like to read them to you, and I'd also like to dedicate the Shir L'Iri Nishmas Rav Shlomo Reb Moshe Volber, Zeichatzad Livrocha. All those who came into contact with the Venerable Mashkiach, Reb Shlomo Volber, could attest to the high regard he had for the Beis HaMusa in general, and to Musa study in particular. As he said to himself, it was only through his daily regimen of Musa study that he spiritually survived the 8 lonely years he spent in refuge in Sweden during World War II. He himself testifies, "It is not an act of haughtiness to make such a declaration. It is comparable to having said that one survived a famine due to the bread that one ate." The Mashkiach felt, as he wrote in his will, that his greatest single accomplishment that would serve as a merit him in the world to come was his founding an active involvement in the Beis HaMusa. Briefly, when one studies Musa regularly, it helps him live with a constant awareness of why he was brought to this world and how he is accomplishing his unique mission. Reviewing the Musa text aloud makes a profound impression on the reader's subconscious. Thus, the Beis HaMusa fulfills a double role. Firstly, it serves as a place where one can comfortably review Musa vocally, something uncommon in other study halls. Secondly, the Beis HaMusa serves as a hideout cut off from the world's disturbances, where one can take stock of his spiritual growth, as mentioned above. The end of this introduction to the Sefer asks those who wish to do so to reflect on the significance of a Beis HaMusa, and that the Beis HaMusa of Yerushalayim is happy to assist anyone wishing to heed the call of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. May this serve as a chus for the Mashkiach, Rabbi Shlomo Volber Zichrono Livracha. When I came back to England, having been in Yeshiva in Be'er Yaakov for 3 years, I had a dream of one day establishing a Beis HaMusa, but never thought I would be in the position to speak about it or maybe become active in that respect. I know that there are other very good Chavirim people more worthy than me who learned in Be'er Yaakov and maybe have made efforts in this direction. I hope that after today's Shir, maybe something Lamaisa will come. If there is a Beis HaMusa already somewhere that I'm not aware of, we can strengthen that and get more people to become involved with it. And if not, maybe one of the things which the wonderful organizer, this Yarchi Kala, do, one of the things they may consider further doing, is to give thought to the establishment of Beis HaMusar. I would also warmly recommend this particular book, Faith in the Night, by Reverend Volba. It's a harrowing read in many ways about her experiences in the ghetto, prior to its liquidation in the Kovna ghetto, to that which happened to her late father, Zecher Tzadik V'Kosh Livracha, about Ron Kuczynski, who died a martyr's death in the Kovna ghetto. But it's also quite remarkable when one reads the experiences that she went through, and I knew her primarily as Mashkiach's wife. I never knew that she'd been through these experiences, and she was a woman of quiet emunah, quiet but forceful inspiration, not just to her husband but to the Talmidim in the yeshiva. And it's quite remarkable to read such a sefer and to know that it is possible to go through the most awful experiences unimaginable on this earth, and yet still to remain a remarkably warm, compassionate, caring and inspirational human being. I'd like to start today's shiur, which I've entitled There's Always Another Way. I thought it might get a few more people here because they might think that shiur sounds like an Apikurus. Always another way? There's only one way, isn't there? So what do I mean by there's always another way? The power of lateral thought. And you'll see what I mean in a moment by there's always another way. By the way, if you think, you know, because of the Makom Kodesh that we're in any way, Chas V'Shalom, being irreverent, I want you to know that my grandparents were esteemed members here, Mr. and Mrs. Frohwein, Aleihem Hashalom, for many years, and some of the warmest memories of my youth as a young child was coming into Dublin together with my late grandfather. So Chas V'Shalom, that anyone should misunderstand or in any way misappreciate the thoughts as I'm sharing. I want to start with the introduction posha from Mesilas Yeshorim. Now, I've really said something about the Beis HaMusar, Mesilas Yeshorim. Those familiar with the Sefer will be able to almost say this Baal Peh along with me. Om Amachaba Chibur Azeh Lechibarti V'Lami L'Nei Odom Eisa Shele Yodu. Says the Machaba the Ramchal, I have not compiled this Sefer to teach people things they didn't know. But rather to remind them of things which they know very well and are well publicized. Continues the Mesilas Yeshorim a little bit further on in the Hakdama. He says, if we have not looked at and we have not thought with profundity, we've not thought in depth about certain matters, Maya Yira Amiti Suman of Bel, what is true Yerushalayim? What are the areas which flow from a development of Yerushalayim? Eich Nikneisom, how can we acquire them? The Eich Nimolet Mino Hevelo Elomi Hamashkach Isomi Libenu Haloisishokach Veselech Afal Pishio Danuchivosa. Is how can we escape the tumult of the world, the turmoil, the confusion of the world, which causes us to forget what life is really supposed to be about? It'll be forgotten and dissipate, even though we know how true it is. He continues a little bit further on in the Hakdama. If we looked into this matter properly, even amiti, with true depth, we would find it in truth. We would do good to ourselves. And we teach others. We'd do good for them as well. Three things I want to extract from the words of the Mesilas Yeshorim in the Hakdama. Number one, that the themes we're going to cover today are not themes which are not known to people and not themes which are insignificant. Number two is to recognize that unless we put in effort to connect with these themes on a daily basis, we'll forget them, both because of the preoccupation we have just with worldly survival, and also simply because that's the nature of the Yetzer Hara. And the third thing is that we should understand that this is the spirit in which I prepared this year and deliver it this morning in all true humility. By doing this, we do good for ourselves. I have to give an extra yishkoyach to Malka Curtis and the others, because I probably wouldn't have prepared this particular shiur were it not for this particular occasion. We do good for ourselves. Yes, we teach it to others and hopefully do good for them as well. In Perek Beis of the Nesnefs Hashorim, he reflects and develops the concept that we've referred to in the Hakdama here, or extracted from the Hakdama, namely, the Hevel Ha'olam, the way in which the simple pressures of day-to-day living distract us from what we really want and need to achieve in life. The Ulam says, the Mislav Shishorim, Hinezvish Pe'emes Achas Mitach Bunos HaYetzorah. In truth, this is one of the strategies, the ploys of the Yetzorah. The Ormoso in his cunning. In order to be able to distract us by being so busy and working so hard, until we have no opportunity to consider and to think about what we're actually doing with our lives. Why are we living? Rav Lord Jacobovitz, the Tzal, used to say a most beautiful phrase: the pace of contemporary life denies us the precious oxygen of contemplation. And if there is one thing that we should gain from the chizuk of this wonderful Yar Chaykala, it is the precious oxygen of contemplation. There is a maisa told about the Briskerov. I think I actually heard it from Ramosha Shmuel Shapiro Zatzal, Arosh Hashiv in Be'er Yaakov, that on one occasion somebody came to him who wanted to know how to be zoiche to Das Torah. You know, today everything is instant. So how do you gain instant Das Torah? So the Briskerov, in his own inimitable style, asked as follows. He said, sit down for a good few hours and learn as well as you're able. Immerse yourself in the Yam Shel Talmud. Then he said, take out the Sefer Tehillim and daven for Siyata Tishmaya. Then he said, think about the question you've got at hand, come out with your conclusion, and you should know exactly the opposite of what you decide is Das Torah. We said in Slichas this morning, Asara B'Tevis, Diachani Bishmoina by Smolis V'Yemonis. He oppressed me. He crushed me on the 8th. The 8th of Tevis. You know, it's not just for one day we fast today, it's actually for 3 days. Torahs of the 8th, 9th, and 10th of Tevis. Haloi Shloshtun Kavati Tanis. 3 in Yonim that we think of. We always think about the siege of Yerushalayim, but actually on the 8th of Teves, Melech Yovan Insani Lichtoiv Das Yevonis. The king of Yovan forced me to write the Torah in Greek. Al Gabi Choroshu Choshim, they plowed furrows on my back. Herichu Manis, they made the furrow one which was long. In Masechta Sefer Torah, Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, and indeed this is recorded slightly different also in the Gemara Megillah Daf Tes, and it's also Masechta Sofrim as well. Shivim Zekenim Kosva Torah L'Talmai Amelech. 70 Zekenim in Gemara Bavli in Megillah says 72. The 70 Zekenim wrote the Torah L'Talmai Amelech, Ksiva Yevonis. Now the Gemara Megillah tells us a particular nace, that all of those Shivim Ushlaim, as the Babli says, Shivim, as the Masechta Sefer Torah says, all of those Gedolei Yisrael were mechavein to, I think it was 14, 15, 16, a number of changes in translation so that Talmai HaMelech shouldn't have tainos, as it were, kaviyochel on the Torah. And the last one was they changed the word Arneves because his wife was called Arneves. They didn't want to think that they were making fun of him in some way. So they were all machabed to those changes. So there was siyata tishmaya, huge siyata tishmaya. Yet, Masecha Sefer Torah tells us, that day when the Torah was first translating to Greek was as harsh, as difficult for Klal Yisrael as the day of the Asiyas HaEgel. As hard as the day the Egel was made. We normally understand in today's day and age a new article translation comes out, as they say in America, whoopee-doo, fantastic. We've all got to go and get the new Oscar. And Chas V'Shalom, I'm not knocking Oscar, it's gewaltig, tremendous. So in that case, what's the problem? Torah suddenly becomes accessible. It's in the lingua franca, it's in the regular language. It's there, it's translated to Greek. Myridic! No. Griskarov, remember, Das Torah is Lehebach, concludes the Masechet Sefer Torah, the tragedy was that the nuances, the Kedusha of Torah, the Ramazim of Torah, couldn't be handed over in translation. Today, of course, we understand that incredible work which is done in translating Torah and opening it up to us in the language that we understand is part of that effort to ensure that it is Maturkum called Sarka. But the tragedy of the first translation of the Torah was the diminution of the Kedusha HaTorah. Was the fact that the Torah became something which is accessible. This is it, read it, you've got it here. And no one can understand from the Greek translation the Diduke Seifim, the Diyukim, the Ramosim, as the God says, Leka Minitele Ramiza Baraisa. Wasn't there the translation? That's the tragedy of Asura Batavis. So there's always another way. The power of lateral thoughts. We're here on Asura Batavis. Let me share with you a Gemara from Baba Basra Tafud on the base, and you'll all know this Gemara. It is very important we should share this thought together at the moment. Om Rabbi Abari. Shalu es Shlomo, Shlomo Melech was asked, Eizehu ben Olam Abba. Who is the ben Olam Abba? Omar Lahem, he said, quoting the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Kol shekeneged zekenov kovit. The Gemara's full context refers to the idea that where you see that kovit is given to Talmidei Chachomim and Talmidei Chachomim Abarosh, and one is a genuine article of Talmid Chachom, that's a ben Olam Abba. Kihot Rav Yosef Bered Rav Yeshua Cholash Ingit. Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Yeshua, became very sick, and he had what today we would call an out-of-body experience. He actually was nifta and then came back to life. Omale Avua, so his father Rav Yeshua asked him, "My chosis, what did you see?" Omale, he said, "Olam Hafuch Roisi. I saw a world that was upside down. Elyonim Lamata." Those who in Olam Hazeh were considered to be people, the front row Mizrach mentioned, they were the matter. The Tachtonim and the people we don't even think about in this world, and we tread all over them and think of them as insignificant, Lamala, they were elevated. Omale Reb Yeshua says to his son, Olam Boro Isa, you saw a world of clarity, of truth. And then he asked him, "Va'anan hechi chazisinon? How do we look then at Talmidei Chachamim? Omalei ki hechi techashvinan ocha, chashvinan osam. In the way that we were considered in Olam Hazeh, we were considered in Olam Haba. V'shamati shoyu oimim ashmi shebo lekan v'talmud v'biyodai. I heard them saying, happy is the person who comes here and he brings his Torah with him. So Rashi explains, what's pshat? Oysum shein el yoinim kam. The people who are considered choshev in Olam Hazeh. He says, machmash oishrom. People who are considered to be choshev because of their material wealth. Ro'isi shom shein lemata. I saw the material wealth counts for nothing in the Olam HaEmes. But Toisvus there brings down an amazing thing for those who are familiar with it, and those who aren't, you soon will be. Says the Toisvus, Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, The Omru Agoinim, Shekabola Beyodom Rav Mipi Rav. It's an amazing thing Tosha says. Kabbalah b'yodam rav mipi rav. To oilam ha'afuch, that a world in reverse, haynu shero Shmuel d'Avi Yosef kamit Rav Yehuda. He saw Shmuel sitting in front of Rav Yehuda Talmidei. Rav Yehuda was actually serving as the Rebbe. When Shmuel had been the Rebbe of Rav Yehuda, Mishum to Micha b'Shmuel prepared my Bebe Hema, because Rabbi Yehuda said to Shmuel in Shabbos Nun Hey, Gabi I itzit asked for tzav ko kamid Shmuel. A woman came and cried on a certain night before Shmuel. The Leashkach Ben, he didn't pay attention to her. Leashkach Ba, Omalei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said to Shmuel his Rebbe, Les Leimar does the master not hold Oitim Ozlem Yizakas Dau Gam Hui Korif Loyane. Apostle Mishle Chavalev, do you not hold of the fact that if you close your ears to the cry of an individual who is suffering, who is lonely, who is impoverished, not just financially, but a person who's got a tzora, and you don't listen to what they're saying to you, you'll also call out and not be answered. If you look at the Gemara there in Shabbos, it's clear that Shmuel had a reason for holding it wasn't his responsibility to answer. Nonetheless, Tosha says a remarkable thing. A human being, even an Odom Gadol, who shows some degree of insensitivity, Rachmon Litzlan, towards another one, that's the Olam Hafuch of Olam Haba. There's always another way, and a person's a nudge, and you haven't got time for them, and you want to be Madcha Bakash and push them aside, remember this Tosfos. And think to yourself that every human being has their integrity in Olam Hazeh. One of the most remarkable maisim I read from a book that was written about Reb Mendel Kaplan Zitzal, who was one of the Rebbeim in Chicago, of such an Odom Gadol, Lahavdil Mechaim Lechaim Reb Beryl Weinschlitter. There's a story which is told, I think it's a book called simply Reb Mendel, written by someone called Yisrael Greenwald. And he tells a story how his Rebbe, Reb Mendel, asked him on one occasion to look after a troublesome bocha in the yeshiva. This boy had no patience to learn, this boy was a mazik, this boy was a problem. So, your Rebbe asked you to do something, you go and do it. After 3 days, he comes back to his Rosh Hashira, Reb Mendel, and he says to him, Rebbe, Echgenishna, I can't, it's impossible, I can't learn, I can't help him, it's destroying me, it's destroying him, it's no good, it's no good. He said, the only time Reb Mendel ever spoke to him sharply was he looked up and he said to him, the Ribbono Shlem's got place for this boy on his earth, you'll have to find place for this boy on his earth. A limit that there is always another way, and the power of lateral thought. I want to explore this with you in the context of a remarkable Gemara, a Gemara in Shabbos, which again we're probably quite familiar with. Tana Rabbanon, and I don't really have time to go through the whole Gemara, Kuf Kof Zayin Amud Beis, but you'll look it up yourselves afterwards if you wish to do so. Hadom Chaver Lekaf Zechus, Tana Yisrael Yisrus. A person judges another favorably, that person themselves is judged favorably. It once happened with an individual, Shira, Nikolala Elyon. He came to find work from the Golila Elyon. Seems times don't change. The main economy of Israel is down in the center and the south rather than up in the Golil. So he came down from Golila Elyon, for Niskates La Barabais Echo Bedorum. And he was hired as a laborer with a balabos in the south. Sholosh Shonim, for 3 years he worked. Erev Yom Kippurim Amalo Eten Leschori. Ve'eilach ve'eznes ishti u'bonai. It came to Erev Yom Kippur and he said, give me my reward. He says to him, pay me up. He said, I can go and feed my wife and my children. 3 years he'd been away from home and he came to get his parnasa. Amalo Eili. He said, I haven't got it. Eini mois. Omar Lay Tame me parents, he said, oh, you haven't got money, give me fruit. Omar Ainley, so I haven't got fruit. Tenli Karka, give me a parcel of land, Ainley. I haven't got it. Ten li behema, give me animals. Ainli, I haven't got it. Ten li koi muksosas, give me pillows, cushions, soft furnishings. Ainli. What did the worker do? Hifshil kelov lachayrov. He put his knapsack over his shoulder. Holach la base of a pachin nefesh. He went back home, not angry actually, and cursing out the person he'd worked for 3 years and get paid. Rashi says, Pachin Nefesh, the Davin Nefesh. He was depressed. He was upset. You can imagine what it's like to work for 3 years faithfully and with integrity and see nothing for it. La'achar regel noto balabayas skora biyotay. After Yom Tov, the balabos and was able to find the necessary reward, the payments. And the Gemara relates how he took with him also gimel masois. He took food and drink. They ate and drank together. Holach was a beisoy. He went to the house of the worker. Nosamoyskora. He gave him his rewards. Omara, the employer said to the erstwhile employee, Beshosha martoli tenli skori for marti eni mois. At that moment when I said, you said pay me up, and I said I haven't got money, for marti eni mois, but mecha shatatani. Of what did you suspect me? Omarti, so the worker says, Don Lakafsuchus, Shemo Pragmatia Pazonis, Damaloch Bokahtabayan. Maybe you found some cheap merchandise and you put all your liquid assets into buying that particular stock. So you didn't have any cash? You can see I've got flocks, I've got animals, and I said I haven't got any, but my chashadatami. Maybe he's hired them out to others. And he goes through each of these examples and finds a don lekavsuchus. At the end of it, the balabos says, you're quite right. Every don lekavsuchus, however remote it was, you are 100% correct. He doubted called the chosai bishlu hukus penishle osak b'teira. I ultimately made a neder and divested myself of all my material resources because of Hurkanus, my son, who wasn't engaging in Torah. When I came to my Chaverim in the south, they were not to me my neighbor. You'd like, you judge me favorably. Let the Almighty also judge you. I have a kasha on the end of that Gemara. How can it be that because I judge somebody else this course, I should be entitled to the bracha that the Almighty will judge me this course, others will judge me this course? And this is the MS, the Yisoy, that I want to share with you today. There's always another way. The Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Beis tells us, Megadlin zchus al yedei zakai v'choyv al yedei chayv. That's normally understood to mean that the Megadlin zchus, a worthy person, has the zchus to create worthy things in the world, choyv al yedei chayv. I want to suggest, b'derech drush, and I'll bring you a ride to this in a moment, the Megadlin zchus al yedei zakai means that zchus is rolled over onto the hands of the person himself is a zakai. We'll create a climate of zechus in the world. We live in a world today, my friend, which is a world which is full of suspicion, which is full of cynicism, which is full of people pointing fingers here and there at this one, that one, the other one. And in such a climate, how can there be any trust? How can there be any ability to be done the kaf zechus? And that's why we have to remember there is another way. The power of lateral thoughts. And when we ourselves judge others favorably, we create a climate of zechus whereby the world becomes a kinder, better, warmer place. I've always wondered why in Shachris we daven in the Yirotan after Birchus HaShachar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us me'azei fonim u'me'azos fonim. From arrogant people and from arrogance. And I've understood that pshat in that quite simply is, it's no good walking around saying the world is full of arrogant, angry, difficult people, when I am the one who is actually generating an attitude of arrogance, of anger and difficulty in the world. If we want to see a world which is a kinder, warmer place, we have to make that happen. I want to share with you an insight. There are two Gemaras you can look at on this. There's a Gemara in Shabbos Kufnun Aleph, Kol Amrachim Abriris Merachim Alov Min HaShemayim. If you're not Merachim Abriris, Ein Merachim Alov Min HaShemayim. We are Kriveya V'Anhoga of Shemayim, Klapei us and Klapei the world as a whole, depending the way we behave. Says Rabba, Kol Amar V'Amitvesh of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yudzayin, Ma'avirin Le'Alkol Pshov. Which is also relevant to a Tanis such as this as well, the exponents of Yom HaTanis. The Chorus Alvobos in Shah Precious Perek Dalet very quickly tells us that the hallmark of the Porush, of an individual who manages to achieve an element of elevation, of nobility, of refinement, someone who's finessed, the Porush saw loss of the fun of the Ebloi Belibai. His face shines with trust and belief. His sadness is in his heart. At both sides, there's not one of us who doesn't have our private sadnesses. Me, you, people out there, people in here, we've all got our frustrations and sadnesses. But does that mean because of that we've got to walk around with a lung upon him, as Rakhaskal Levenstein used to say, a lung upon him is a burbishus arabim? Or do we have to walk around making the world a more pleasant place? I remember I've been to other places in the world, and look, you go in the base of Medrash, sometimes where it's a warmer climate makes it a bit easier. You walk in and people are smiling at one another. And sometimes we walk into our own body Medrash in the morning and, you know, you look around, you know, what tragedies actually occurred? You look around, what's so bad, what's so terrible? Oh, it's early in the morning. Ugh. Yes. Shvet is ein yid, etc. We have to learn another way to be more positive and brighter. Rebbetzin Volber tells an amazing story in this book. She was on a ship at the end of the war where the Nazis, Yimach Shmon V'Zichron, were taking the elderly and weak women and children and just throwing them overboard into the sea. Can you imagine the terror after all the terrors and horrors she'd been through? One day, one of these individuals came up to her and was about to chop her. She says she doesn't know where she got the inspiration or genius from. She looked up at the individual and smiled a beaming smile. And she says that saved her. A human being who can smile is not a human being who slated Rachmon Litzlan for death. It's an amazing, amazing story. So we've come to the end of the time, and part of the Chesed Don Lekavs, of course, is you've got other fantastic shurim to go to enjoy here today. I don't want to take more than my allotted time. Just to finish once again with a bracha to those who are responsible for arranging this Yarchi Kala, and hopefully this little bit of thought we've had together, you want to retreat more into this world of positivity and the world of MS. Midaf on a base of Musa in London. Need a base of Musa in London. Okay.